Senate please come to order? Members vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 60 members present. Senators Hoffman, Jones, Menard, and Jaroff are excused and called the Senate today.
Please stand for invocation by the chaplain, Kermit Wilson of the First Church of God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life and health. We were reminded of your word that says, "Praise be to the Lord, to the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." Lord, we have some burdens which trouble us. We lift up to you our fellow Alaskans. Some need jobs. Some are sick. Some are in the midst of difficult circumstances. We ask that you would bear their burdens today and make their load light. May we go out of our way today to help someone in need. Please guard those who travel by auto, boat, train, and air. Father, thank you for these, our legislators, for the sacrifices that they and their families have made to serve us. Watch over them and grant safety, health, and love. Father, grant understanding, truth, and justice as we conduct business today. Grant strength and help as we press on into this session. Grant peace and rest in this weekend ahead. For the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Senator Schultz, would you lead us in pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please certify the journal.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 66th legislative day.
Senator Hofford.
Ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary for the 66th legislative day.
Without objection, the journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Rohde.
In the gallery behind me, Senator Pierce and I are fortunate to have a constituent, a well-known Anchorage businessman, Mr. Jim Morgan. Welcome to the Senate, Jim.
Senator Collins.
Thank you, Mr. President. In Senator Ziegler's gallery, we would like you to meet Steve Hendricks and welcome him to the legislature.
Senator Sturgiulski.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm delighted to introduce, and I had an opportunity to have several of you say hello, and some had been acquainted from earlier visits, but we do have an outsider today who's made a good number of trips to Alaska. It's the executive director of WICHE, which is the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Ed. It's, as you well know, a regional consortium of 15 states, so popular that three other states have joined, and it deals with a great number of things in higher education. We're able to send our students through the student exchange program to special programs outside, so we haven't had to build a university in a number of fields. There's a number of programs, a Western Regional Graduate Program, undergraduate exchange. Alaska's a state that really benefits from this program because we send a lot more than we receive. But please join me in welcoming Dick Johnson, who's the executive director of WICHE. Dick made a promise to Senator Duncan that he would come up and tell us how to handle our financial situation because he listens to the other states. He's accompanied today by Alan Barnes. I don't know if Alan's been introduced. Alan is the new and very hardworking executive director of the Post-Secondary Commission. Welcome, Alan.
Senator Collins?
Mr. President, if I may ask the indulgence of the body, when I introduced Steve Hendricks, I neglected to mention that he's with Life Alaska, which is an organization that is formed in Alaska to try to give access to Alaskans with respect to organ and tissue transplants. And I wanted to make sure that people was aware that he was with that organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Further introductions? Senator Rohde?
Also in the far gallery is a former staffer of ours and the niece of my high school coach, Erna Petrocki, here on behalf of UAA. Welcome.
Senator Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Communications?
Report received, Alaska Clean Water Fund financial statements from Department of Environmental Conservation. Those are all the communications this morning.
Thank you. Reports of standing committees?
Finance Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 28, urging the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights to prepare a handbook on sexual harassment. The majority of the committee recommends the State Affairs CSB adopt and do pass. Report was signed by Senators Cretula and Pershaw, co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Adams, and Ewing. Senator Schultz signed no recommendation, fiscal and attached. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 28 has no further referral.
Rules?
Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill 343, Crime of Conspiracy, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute reports back as follows. Senator Helfrich, chair, and Senators Frank, Collins, and Rohde signed due pass. Committee attaches a letter of intent, 3 fiscal notes and 10 fiscal note, and further recommends a finance referral. Senate Bill Number 343 has no further referral.
Let me have it easy. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that we revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the far gallery, we have some friends from Kodiak with the education community. We have John Wittevine, who's the superintendent of schools. We have Kaya Collison, the president of the Teachers Association. Mary LaFerrier, who is the head of the PTA. And Norm Wooten, who's the vice president of the school board. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator. We're under reports of standing committees. That's going to finance, correct?
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 363, certain employers to post information on inquiries and complaints concerning sexual harassment. Majority of the committee recommends the Labor and Commerce CSB adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senators Pershaw and Cretula, co-chairs. Concurring Senators Duncan, Adams, and Ewing. Senator Schultz signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal and attached. Senate Bill Number 363 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 372, states investment officers and the state comptrollers to comply with disclosure requirements. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Rohde, chair, concurring Senators Ewing, Pershaw, and Duncan, previous zero fiscal note. Senate Bill Number 372 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 437, possession of firearms in school lockers, recommends it be replaced with the Judiciary CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Helfrich, chair, and Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Senator Collins and Frank signed due pass, zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 437 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 272 MLV, duties of the Adjutant General and of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Rohde, chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Ewing, and Pershaw. Previous zero House fiscal loan attached. CS for House Bill Number 272 MLV has no further referral.
Rules? Senator Duncan?
Are we having a discussion?
Committee considered Senate Bill 192, seizure and forfeiture of property in cases involving alcoholic beverages, controlled substance, imitation controlled substances. Recommends count.
Can we start over, please?
Okay. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 192, seizure and forfeiture of property in cases involving alcoholic beverages, controlled substances, and imitation controlled substances. Recommends calendar and attaches a new zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 334, National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska Special Revenue Fund recommends calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Giroff, chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Jones, Elias, and Halford. These two bills do appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports I have today.
Thank you. Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills?
Second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 292 by Senator Hoffman. An act establishing the Good News Bay submerged land area, closing the area to mining, mineral entry, mineral location, mineral prospecting, and mineral leasing relating to the management of offshore state land and water adjoining the area and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Those are all the bills this morning.
Thank you. Consideration of daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 192 by Senators Strzelczewski and Ewing, an act relating to seizure and forfeiture of property in cases involving alcoholic beverages, controlled substances, and imitation controlled substances. State Affairs Committee considers the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Rowley Chair. Concurring Senators Ewing and Fisher. Senator Pershowstein, no recommendation. Zero fiscal one attached. Judiciary Committee considers the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Helfrich Chair. Concurring Senators Collins and Rowley. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considers the bill. Recommends calendar. Attaches a new zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Senator Sheroff Chair. Concurring Senators Duncan, Helfrich, Eliason, and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Senator Strzelczewski and Adams, page 2, line 24, and the amendment has been distributed.
Senator Strzelczewski?
Yes, I would move the amendments. You wish to take those individually, or can they all be handled at one time?
Take them all at one time. Amendment number one.
It's amendment number one. I would move the amendment number one, but before I ask for unanimous consent, I'd like to explain what we did. The first on page 2, line 24, inserting a third between A and the felony. This amendment changes the bill to provide that seizure of real property for bootlegging violations is authorized only after third felony violation. And the reason for that, after the bill had been through, this is the third time before this body, it's always passed here and gone on to the House Judiciary Committee, but there was a change in the law back when former senator from Bethel had a number of amendments, and what happened is we changed the sale of alcohol in a damp area. And it went, regardless of the amount, and it went from a misdemeanor to a Class C felony. And so what we have here is a situation that someone in a damp community could make a sale and find that their home would be up for possible taking on that first offense, which seems very, very harsh. So we have, I am proposing that we make that the third rather than the first felony. And page 6, line 17, replacing state with either party, what this does, it provides that in a civil proceeding against a property, it may be held in abeyance until after any criminal proceeding has been concluded. The way the law is right now, it says only the state may request that postponement. This change will allow either party to make that request, so that would have to go through upon their request. It would have to have the criminal proceeding done at the first time. In common law, I think that that is the practice, that you can't incriminate yourself, and this would allow the individual charge to request that postponement. The third on page 9, line 26, merely adds the, what this section does is to provide the legislature can appropriate any funds that receives as a result of seizures or forfeitures to Department of Public Safety to be used in the furtherance of justice. And what this does is to add the Violent Crimes Compensation Program as a possible recipient of those funds. And with that, I would ask for unanimous consent.
Senator Petula?
In the state of Michigan during the Prohibition period, they had the three felony count, and then third time you went to prison, but they'd always they had a real organized situation where you went to took the two raps and then you got out of the business or out of the state. So that's the way it worked there.
Mr. President, yes, I think it's real important to note that this allows all the other things, ill-gotten gains and all the rest, but it does protect the home of that individual, and that's assuming that somebody that lives in that community.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, I don't think this is even necessarily important, but there is a technical problem with the second part of the amendment. It deletes too much. It doesn't read correctly, but I think once that's noted, it can be changed.
activities. You would tell us where we are?
Yes, where we are is we want to thank the Senator for Juneau indicating that we were getting rid of an of that we should not get rid of, and the Senate Secretary has informed me that that is technical and can be taken care of. And with that, I would ask for unanimous consent.
Without objection, Amendment number 1 passes.
I have no further amendments.
President, I did object.
Senator Collins, you object? Okay. You object to the motion? The question being, Senator Rohde?
We divide the question.
Senator Halford?
I think the procedure would be to suggest a division to the presiding officer on the motion to divide. How do you want to divide it?
The first and the two.
First versus the other two sections?
Any objection? Senator Halford, would you make the motion on the first division?
I assume what we're doing is separating the amendment into two questions. The first question being, shall the amendment on page 2, line 24, which makes it the third felony conviction, and the second question being the insertion of either party in replace of just the state and the other Violent Crimes Compensation Commission. So I would move that the first question be the insertion of third before felony in the division.
Any objection?
Object.
The motion being, shall the first division, which is insert three before A and felony, be approved? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary locked the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary record the roll. And so, part one of amendment number 1, which reads, insert third between A and felony, has been approved by a vote of 13 yeas, 3 nays. Senator Halford?
The remainder of the amendment would be part 2, the second two sections, page 6 and page 9.
Ask unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent has been asked. Without objection, the remaining parts of amendment number 1 are approved.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Halford?
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 192 is amended to be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill number 192, amended, is in third reading. Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 192, amended, an act related to seizure and forfeiture of property in cases involving alcoholic beverages, controlled substances, and imitation controlled substances.
Discussion? Senator Shaw?
President, I think a year or two ago we had similar discussion on a similar piece of legislation, and I wanted just maybe to have the bill sponsor reassure me a little bit. We've had some publicity nationally about use of federal seizure and statutes and the return of that property to law enforcement agencies. There are some statistics nationally that show that 80% of the seizures don't result in charges eventually being filed. There is always concerns that people are being targeted because they meet some kind of drug profile. Their property is seized any length of time at great inconvenience. They may or may not be charged. I'd like assurances that this law does not get into the kind of situations that we've seen in that regard. Another situation that is of concern to me is the kind of seizures that have taken place with the like the fishing vessel down in Homer a couple of years ago by the Coast Guard, where a whole fishing boat worth hundreds of thousands of dollars was seized for a little bit of marijuana residue in the bottom of a pipe of a crew member. I think even our congressman got excited about that one. There have been numerous vehicles seized up in Tok for possession of small amounts of marijuana. The cost of those vehicles sometimes exceeds any fine that one would eventually get in court. And so there's this whole question about the seizure of property being far in excess of what the actual punishment would be of a crime. And finally, Mr. President, if the bill sponsor could address the whole philosophy of returning seizure to law enforcement agencies. As we all know, we do not authorize the court system to retain fines that are levied in court. We have, in America, resisted the temptation of letting police officers and local law enforcement agencies keep fines from parking tickets or from speeding tickets. That obviously there's some potential inherent conflicts between people who are enforcing things versus people who are collecting fines. There may always be the tendency to be aggressively pursuing something, maybe at the expense of certain basic rights if the property or the value is returned to the same people doing the law enforcing. And maybe Senator Strzelczyk could address some of those items.
Senator Strzelczyk?
Yes, I appreciate the comments, and it's the philosophical base, and I think that is important. What we should know is that at the current time, many of the basic provisions of the law they're carried out in exactly the same way, except that we are using the federal procedure rather than having a similar state procedure. Particularly in the administrative seizure, the case of the drug carrier who leaves a whole lot of property and so on in his room and takes off, you're able to move against that property or the in rem procedure. We're currently going through federal law, and we're paying a price for that. This gives that same ability to use state law. At one time, the federal government talked in terms of doing away with their ability because their courts were getting choked, and we thought we'd have to have it for that purpose. This has been a process that the law enforcement community and many others have wanted to see here. It's based on the model law. Actually, this provides a very clear procedure and protection for the public, and it does bring in the so-called homesteader's exemption on your personal piece of property. Because of earlier concerns, frankly, added alcohol at the then Finance Committee's direction, and it is a bit different, but you can also get into some very large cases involving that controlled substance, particularly in rural Alaska. The amendments that you had softened that somewhat because of the reality, the difficulty of people perhaps getting legal advice and so on. So we did soften those provisions, and not everybody did agree with that. But you're still able to go through the civil and criminal process. You don't have to go through. If the individual objects to the in rem, there are lots and lots of provisions that give protection if that's not what you want to see happen. But it certainly allows you, for those people that are serious abusers, that's where we're getting the dollars. That's where they're using this process. So I think that the protections are there. It certainly doesn't get into the question we've gone. As a matter of fact, the use of the in rem or against the property procedures for felonies instead of for misdemeanors. I can remember former Senator Fahrenkamp on this floor concerned that somebody was going to get busted and lose their car because they had a marijuana cigarette. And we have changed. It's now a felony. All of those protections, I feel, are in the bill. And if I've missed a whole bunch, I'll hear.
Senator Rochow.
Mr. President, the only topic that was missed, and maybe I'll just answer my own question, and you can say that if I'm right or not, but on, and that's the question of returning or the value or... I am getting to that. The subject of the question would be, though, on as far as the appropriateness of returning property or the value of that property to the enforcement agency. And the language that I read on page 9, lines 23 through 26, speaks about separately accounting for the proceeds of forfeited property, and that the annual estimated balance of the account may be used by the legislature to make appropriations to public safety, or, and under the amendment, I guess we'd add violent crimes compensation. I assume that this is not an automatic thing. It's something, obviously, that would go through the legislature for determination that that property is not just automatically placed in the hands of the agency.
My staff has been living with this as long as I have, and perhaps more intimately, and the answer is that's correct.
Question being, shall Senate Bill 192 amended pass the Senate in third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary locked the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary record the roll. And so Senate Bill 192, amended by the Senate, has passed in third reading by a vote of 16 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill number 334 by Senator Adams, an act relating to the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska Special Revenue Fund, and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Trochow and Cotrillo, co-chairs. Concurring, Senators Duncan, Adams, Hoffman, Schultz, and Ewing. 2-0 fiscal notes. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senators Yaroff, Chair. Concurring, Senators Duncan, Jones, Elias, and Halford.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford?
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 334 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed in final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 334 is in third reading. Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 334, an act relating to the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska Special Revenue Fund, and providing for an effective date.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a question on the retroactive effective date of May 31st, 1986.
Senator Adams.
We're going back to basically when the current law became effective in May of 1986. And basically, this bill only speaks to the source of funds of the grant program. It spells out that the money that came in there during the fiscal year is a source of funds for those particular grants. This particular piece of legislation is supported not only by the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs, Revenue, and also Legislative Audit.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Ewing.
I have a brief news, please.
Without objection. Further discussion? Question being, shall Senate Bill 334 pass the Senate in third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary, lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the roll. And so Senate Bill 334 has passed the Senate in third reading by a vote of 16 yeas, 0 nays. Senator Hoffman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of Senate Bill 334 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Citations on Chris Ashenbrenner, Senators Duncan Jarre, Sturzulski, Menard, Collins, Rudy, Pierce, Halpin, Curtula. Honoring Women's History Month, Senators Sturzulski, Jarre, Ewing, Menard, Duncan, Collins, Pershaw, Cotton, Rody, Pierce, Halpin, Curtula. Honoring Mountain Bruiser, 1992 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race Champion, Senators Curtula, Menard, Jarre, Ewing, Fisher, Sturzulski, Adams, Duncan, Halpin, Pierce, and Schultz, and Collins, Pershaw, Cotton, and Rody. Honoring Norton Sound Drug Free Ski Association, Senators Adam Jarre, Ewing, Fisher, Sturzulski, Menard, Duncan Collins, Rody Pierce, Halpin, Curtula. Honoring Jean Daugherty, Karen Volger, and Agnes Coyle, Senator Jarre, Sturzulski, Menard, Duncan Collins, Ewing, Rody Pierce, Halpin, and Curtula.
Senator Halpin?
I move and ask unanimous consent the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved by the Senate.
Without objection, the citation calendar is adopted. That concludes the daily calendar. Unfinished business. At this time, I would make an additional referral to House Bill 468, Unfair Trade Taxes, to the Judiciary Committee. Senator Ewing?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate on March 30th and March 1st on state business.
Without objection. Senator Fisher.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House, and this date may fluctuate, but this will be the range, April the 27th to May the 2nd on personal business.
Would you give those dates again, please?
April 27th, which is a Monday, and May the 2nd, which is a Saturday. That's it. Between those 2 days.
Was it April 27th and May 2nd?
No, two May 2nd through.
Have it ease. Without objection, Senator Fisher, motion is approved. Any further unfinished, Senator Halpin?
I've been asking unanimous consent. We return to reports of standing committees.
Without objection.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 119, exemption from taxes and assessments of regional electrical authorities. The majority of the committee recommends the Community Regional Affairs CS be adopted and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Pershaw, Chair, and Curtula, concurring Senators Duncan, Adams, Schultz, and Ewing. Zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 119 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Those are all the standing committee reports, Mr. President.
Thank you. We're back to unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Pierce.
Thank you very much. On Monday afternoon, this coming Monday at 5:30 until 7:30, there will be a Senate Labor and Commerce work session on the Alaska Energy Authority proposed.
Excuse me.
On Monday from 5:30 to 7:30, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee will have a work session on the Alaska Energy Authority proposal made by Governor Hickel
in the
Butrovich room.
Thank you. Senator Kraft?
The Administrative Regulation Review Committee will be meeting to review the mining reclamation regulations on Tuesday, March 24th at 4:30 in the Farron Camp and Butrovich rooms.
Thank you. Further announcements, Senator Rody?
Mr. President, there will be a reception tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 by the Alaska Forest Association at the Baranoff. There will also be a reception again at the Baranoff and again between 5:30 and 7 o'clock by the Alaska Medical Association and also a reception at the Westmark by the Alaska Association of Private Career Educators.
Thank you. Senator Halpin.
Mr. President, there will be a Rules Committee meeting upon adjournment to consider Senate Concurrent Resolution 36. It's a title change resolution. That's all that's on the calendar.
Further announcements? Senator Rody.
Have already announced the the content, but there will be a meeting of the Hess Committee on Friday at 8 o'clock with the full agenda.
Further announcements? Senator Helford. Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Pierce. Please do. Special orders? Senator Hufford?
I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.